Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Miracle Man and the Preacher Man show live on this beautiful Thursday evening. We're going to start right off with a word of prayer. Lord God, I thank you for the show. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless it. I thank you that you are breathing into it and showing us what to do. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're causing us to have great sponsors who give money to us so we can have equipment that we need. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are just breathing into us and showing us what to say from your word, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I just pray right now over the situation in Florida and the East Coast with Irma. I claim that in the name of Jesus, that Irma will break up. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And won't reform it into anything else. In the name of God, she'll just go right out to the sea where she belongs.
Yep.
In the name of Jesus. And I give you praise, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for giving the people wisdom on where to go as they evacuate, Lord God. Just thank you, Lord God, that the hurricane will just dissipate and everybody will be able to go back home. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are at McDonald's on South Saginaw Road, across from the Kmart store. We are south of Halen, north of Patrick, on South Saginaw Road. We're next to an Admiral gas station south and a disability network office to the north. And we'd love to see you if you want to come in. Or you can call us at 215-383-3810. You press 1, we'll get you in the queue, and we'll get you screened. Remember, it is always a very smart thing, program on your smartphone. You can just go to blogtalkradio.com or Google, or you can Google Upfront Entertainment, and you can find the Preacher Man and the Miracle Man, and you'll find our show. What is that subscribe thing that you do that lets them know that our show, that when our next show is?
Yeah, it was right there on the, it's right there on the page. As soon as they go to the page, it'll just have a little square box there. It says subscribe.
You go to the page, you'll see a square box that said subscribe. You click on it, and then you'll be notified whenever we do a show. In this case, we're doing one right now. And then on Sunday, when we do a show on Sunday you'll get a notification that says Preacher Man and Miracle Man are about to go live. And that's your, and you'll get the notification on your smartphone, computer, or your iPad, or wherever. With those words of business taken care of, it is time to open the Word of God and to talk about faith. We're going to go to Hebrews 11.
Hebrews chapter 11.
I'm going to read verse 1 through 10. And we're going to see about what God has to say about some things about faith. And we have now find it, so we will now begin. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certainty of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And by faith, Noah, he was warned about things that were not yet seen. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir with the righteous that comes by faith. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him. For the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now we're going to read from Genesis chapter 10 and see what this has to say.
10 and 11.
Well, we're going to read 10 and 11, excuse me. Then after that, we are going to, I am going to exhort you a bit on what we read after I read these chapters and verses.
Wow.
We have now found chapter 10. I have now found chapter 10, excuse me. So we shall begin the table of nations. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves were themselves sons after the flood. And then this is the Japhethites. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Teras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Rephath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Termesh, the Kedem, and the Rodanem. From there, the maritime peoples spread out into their territories, into the clans within their nations, east of its own, each with its own language. The Hamites, the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put and Canaan, the sons of Cush, Saba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama and Saptika, the sons of Rama, Shiva, and Dedan. Kush was the father of Nimrod, who grew it to be a mighty warrior on earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in Shia. From that land, he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh and Rehoboth, Arkala, and Zing, which is between Nineveh and Kala. That is the great city. And then it says, Mizraim was the father of Amorites, Moabites, Naphtalites, Bethuelites, and then Caslites, from whom the Philistine came, and Catorites. Was the father of
Sidon,
Jebusite, Amorite, Girgashite, Hivite, Arkite, Sunite, Avedite, Zemarite, and Hamathite. Later, the Canaanite clans scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon toward Gerar as far as Gaza, and then toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Adamah, and Zeboram, as far as the Lemma. These are the sons of Ham by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. And then the Semites. Sons were also born to Shem, whose older brother was Japheth. Shem was the ancestor of all the sons of Eber. The sons of Shem, Elam, Asur, Arachamet, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Uz, Hul, and Getar, and Meshek. Arphaxad was the father of Shalem, and Shalem, the father of Eber. Two sons were born to Eber. One was named Peleg, because in his time the earth was divided. His brother was named Joktan. Joktan was the father of Elmadad. Shalem, and then Hazan Mavis, and then Jera, Horam, Uzal, Hikru, Obal, Akam, Sheba, and then Ophar, Kavila, and Joab. All of these were sons of
happened. The region where they lived stretched from Mesha toward Ziphar in the eastern hill country. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons. Their wives and
descent within their nations. They're the nations spread out over the earth after the flood. And then here's where we talk the Tower of Babel. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and let us confuse the language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is why we all have different languages, because God confused those people's tongues.
Yes, he did.
Confused them, because part of it was that they were being so prideful. They say pride comes before the fall. And those who are prideful, they tend to pay a very serious price. Okay, this is the account of Shem. 2 years after the flood, when Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Arphaxad.
Yep.
And after he became the father of Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and other sons and daughters. When Arphaxad had lived 35 years, he became the father of Shelah. And after he became the father of Shelah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Shelah had lived 30 years, he became the father of Eber. After he became the father of Eber, Sheba lived 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber had lived 36, 34 years, he became the father of Peleg. And after he became the father of Peleg, Eber lived 437 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he became the father of Rem. And after he became the father of Rem, Peleg lived 205 years and had other sons and daughters. When Rem had lived 32 years, he became the father of Serug. And after he became the father of Serug, Rem lived 207 years and had other sons and daughters. When Serug had lived 30 years, he became the father of Nahor. And after he became the father of Nahor, Terug lived 200 years and had other sons and daughters. When Nahor had lived 29 years, he became the father of Terah. And after he became the father of Terah, Nahor lived 115 years and had other sons and daughters. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot, while his father, Terah, was still alive. Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran. The father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now, Sarai was barren. She did not have any children. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from for the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran.
Some reading, man.
Yep, a lot of names, but let's say this about Ruth. It's great to live by faith and to have, and it's important to live by faith and to say, you know, God will do this. God will give me my miracle. I will have my miracle. I will have my healing, whether it's the recovery system or the miracle system. That's great, but you can't live a lifestyle of pride, of feeling, I'm the best. No one can tell me what to do. I do what my, I, and arrogance. The people in the Tower of Babel, those were some arrogant people. Because of their pride, that's why God had to separate those people and confuse their tongues. He had to confuse their tongues, and he had to make them all speak different languages. That's part of why now we have English, Spanish, German, among other languages. Now, diversity is great, and I love diversity. It's so great. You know, I was thinking about this. I'll be walking around Great Lakes Crossing
down in the Detroit area near my mom's apartment. And I'll be there walking around the mall. And chances are I'll hear a couple of other languages beyond just English. Now, a lot of times when I'm there, there's a big sea of people and you might not know who to, but, you know, just thinking about that. I wonder if Babel had never been built and all that, if we would have still had different languages. It's something to think about. I think it's possible. I think we might never know. But I'm using this to say, don't live a life of pride. I mean, it's great to be happy with God, but don't just live in the self-pride of I'm the greatest. No one can tell me what to do. It's me, my four, no more. I don't need church. I don't need to read my Bible. It shouldn't be that way. We need to be humble. We need to be humble. God wants two things from us. He wants us to have faith in him, and he wants us to be humble. He'd much rather us be humble than prideful. And with that...
I'm going to say something, if I can.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take the mic for a second. You know, we read last week about Noah. He was a perfect man, preacher of righteousness. Preached for 100 years and never had a convert. Now that's faith. Right?
Yes.
I mean, think about it. And yet he kept going, and then he saved his family, saved the whole entire human race. And I really like that verse. We didn't talk about it much last week. I like that verse in Genesis chapter 9. When he came out of the ark, God said to him, God blessed Noah and his sons and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you will be on every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, and on all them that live on the earth, and all the fish of the sea, they're given into your hand. So God gave us dominion over every part of this earth. And really, the only reason we put up with stuff is we don't realize we don't have to put up with stuff. And then we go for a period saying, wait, I don't have to put up with that, and we don't. And then we... life, right? And then life. We put up with it and like, hey, wait, I'm not putting up with that. And you can see that God, in the very beginning, all the way back to Noah, said, I have made a covenant with you, and I'm going to put the seal of my covenant in the sky, and that's a rainbow. And every time you see a rainbow, you have to say, that's God's covenant. He's not going to destroy the earth ever again until he returns, and then there's a new heaven and a new earth. And that covenant with us. You know, the people of Babel could have had that covenant. Right?
They could have.
But they were filled with pride, saying, I got to do it. I'm going to do it my way. Right?
Yes, sir.
And God help us not to be that way, but to do things his way. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed. Thy kingdom come on this earth as it is. And I like Dr. Barclay's to Joyce preaches every Christmas time. But Simple Mary said, be it done unto me according to thy word. And immediately he conceived Jesus, who would then be known as Jesus of Nazareth. It's faith. Faith is just simply knowing that God is good for what he said. That's what pastor's been teaching, right?
Yep.
So, whatever you're dealing with out there, you keep speaking to that mountain. You keep believing, because God Almighty is going to make a difference in your life. One person said, yeah, but how long do I have to stand? Brother Jerry Savelle said, until you can sit. But the idea is, it's not about how long you have to stand. It's just you keep speaking the mountain. One day you're going to look up there and that mountain's gone. And in the process of speaking, you've grown your faith. you've grown your faith. Look at the disciples. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you 70 times 7, and they all said, oh, my Lord, increase our faith. That's a tough deal. And he said to them, if you would have faith, you would say to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And so right now we're going to speak to a mountain, Miracle Man. I speak to this mountain of finances needed for this equipment. Come now. Finances come now to this radio program. So we have the equipment that we need to produce a very great, high quality show. And Father, bless every person that's going to be a part of that. Bless them. Bless them with help. Bless them with strength. Bless them with finances. We pray this and we seek this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Back to the miracle. Wait, I should do my commercial, shouldn't I?
Gotta do the commercial.
You deserve a Dr. Pepper today at McDonald's. Your turn.
Remember, folks, remember when you go to McDonald's and you get some food to eat, you get a McNuggets or you get a fry or something. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe you just want a fry. Well, what you do is with it, remember to get any size Coke you want for just a dollar. You get a great Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
It's even better if you don't if you get it without ice. It's the sweet and delicious. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. It's to have a Coke and a smile today with McDonald's, who reminds us, fill up a cup. I'm loving it.
I'm loving it.
It's simple joy of a great beverage. Pair it to go with your sweet McDonald's food items. And with that, we move on to sports. We so much to get to, and not a lot of time. We start with professional football. Professional football starts tonight. So, we have tonight your New England Patriots. The New England Patriots taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in Foxborough, Massachusetts, at Gillette Stadium. Tonight at 8:30 on ESPN and ABC. And I believe Twitter is going to be streaming it like they have been, like they were last year. You can watch it there. I think the Patriots are going to have a great season. I was talking to my cousin today when I was leaving the house. And I was asking him, do you think they're going to go 12-4 or whatever? He's like, no, he's thinking 12-2. I'm thinking, 13-3, 14-2. Something like that, because they look very good and loaded and on offense. Their front seven isn't the greatest, but at least they have a great secondary. And your front seven isn't that great on defense. Your secondary can often help. So, yeah, I see them doing a lot of great things this year. The Patriots. Chiefs, I think they could be decent, but I don't think they'll be the absolute greatest. No. Related news, still in professional football. On Sunday, that game that was supposed to be played in Miami between the Dolphins and the Buccaneers will not be played until Sunday, November 19th, which is when those two teams would have had their bye week. Sorry. The reason that game will not be played Sunday is because of Hurricane Irma concerns. Sorry, but that's the way it is. In better NFL news, your Detroit Lions will play on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Ford Field in Detroit. Your Detroit Lions will face off against the Arizona Cardinals. It's going to got Stafford back. You got Tate back. Some new offensive guys. Hopefully we got some kind of a run game running to go this year. I feel good about our defense. I think we're going to go 10-6 this year or so. Possibly win the division. Depends on what happens with Green Bay. Part of that's going to depend on what we do when we play Green Bay this year, both at home and in Green Bay. There's a lot of variables. I like 10-6 this year. I think we'll make the playoffs again and hopefully win a playoff game. What do I see happening on Sunday? I see the Lions winning 23-21. Lions over the Cardinals. Cardinals will still do good this year, but I think the Lions will surprise them. Now, in college football, Michigan plays Cincinnati at the Big House.
Uh-oh.
Cincinnati at 12 o'clock on Saturday. Cincinnati's not that great. Michigan is coming off that beautiful 33-17 win over Florida. And so I'm feeling good about that. I think Michigan will win 35-14 over Cincinnati. You have Michigan State Sparty in East Lansing at Spartan Stadium. They get to take on Western Michigan, who lost to USC. I think Western Michigan is going to give MSU a bit of their run and some money, but I still think they will win 21-18 over Western Michigan. I feel good about MSU winning. Western Michigan, this will be 0-2 after they started 11-0 last year. So, the way different from the day you want to go, but sometimes that's what you get when you play such a schedule right off the bat. Michigan State looked a bit better to me first game than what they this year than what they did last year. So I'm thinking about 6-6, could be 7-5, 8-4. And I'm feeling pretty good about State too. Now we move to high school football. Tomorrow night at Midland Community Stadium, we have the Midland Comets going to take on Flint. Another reminder that Flint, Northwestern and Flint, Southwestern have combined their football program as a co-op, so it is now the Flint Jaguars. Midland, to me, is looking quite a bit better than they did last year. They already went once last year, but instead of being like 20-12 this year, I think it'll be a bit more like 42-10. Give me Midland over Flint 42-7. Chamana, Adland. It'll be a great fan base. I think I'm absolutely gonna be there. The band will be there. It'll be great way to start unofficially kick off the fall. Good game at Midland. Dow goes to Saginaw Heritage, team that's like them, has won a game and lost a game. Dow has been playing a bit on the edge, dating back all the way to the last four games of last year, which included two playoff games, the Midland game, and before that, a game with Fort Carmen Ainsworth. In the six games so far that Dow's kind of played on the edge for a while, Dow's lost three of them. I think Dow gets some of their stuff together and gets it is some of that jitteriness that they have. And I think they beat Hedge 2-1-14.
Yeah.
So Dow will come out and they'll be looking a bit better tomorrow night as they look to do some more good things this year. Now, we also have the Tigers. Two nights ago, they played in Detroit, played Kansas City. They win 13-2. Last night in Detroit, they play Kansas City, lose 13-2. Boyd actually went a good 7 innings. He only gave up 2 runs. But then, when the bullpen came in, that turned out to be a complete disaster. I think they should have left Boyd in one more inning.
Yeah.
And then also, the Red Sox apparently were cheating when they played the Yankees a few weeks ago. Apparently they used someone on the Red Sox team, one of the trainers, used an Apple Watch to try to call out the pitching signs so that they knew what the Yankees were going to pitch. And so apparently Dave Dombrowski didn't know about it until recently. So I don't know what's going to come out with it. I tell you what I'd like to come out of it, but I don't think this will happen. I'd like Dave Dombrowski to be released from the Red Sox and be sent back to Detroit. Because I miss Dave. I felt like Dave did a better job at managing the team as a general manager. But I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't see them giving up Dave. I don't see the Red Sox giving up Dave. And we're probably going to keep the guy we have now. Osmus, his job's still up in the air. I'd like to see him gone because ever since we've gotten him, it's all been kind of down. So I'd like to see us get a good manager so that we can have better results come next year. Now, Little Caesars Arena. The arena opens to the public for a tour on Saturday, but unfortunately, all tickets for all time slots have been reserved.
Is that right?
Yep. All the tickets were reserved. I feel like they didn't want to give out that many for some reason. Or they must have just all went that quick. I was disappointed myself because I wanted to see it. I really wanted to see it, that arena. But I'm still looking forward to it. And I think one of these days I'm going to go to a game there within the next couple months. I already kind of looked at the home schedules to see. I'm going to go to a Pistons game to start with. And for those of you who are listening, you're going to start hearing some Pistons and Red Wings updates when the time comes, when the preseason comes. Because I'm the Miracle Man, and I'm also the Sports Man, so you can count on me to keep you updated. Now, I really want Sooner to do something. I want them to believe God that Harvey just breaks up right now.
Irma.
Irma. Harvey, what am I talking about? Harvey, excuse me.
Excuse me.
I'm going to start all over. I want everybody who's listening right now to believe God that in the name of Jesus, that Irma will break right up.
right now in the name of Jesus, because this Irma looks nasty. Looks like it'd be worse than Harvey.
You know,
185 mile an hour winds.
You know, you have Genesis chapter 1 with you.
Yes, I do.
Let's go read the Genesis 1 verses 26 through 30, because that talks about this. You look that one up, and I'm going to look up the story of Jesus in the boat.
All right. Give me some verses on this. 1, 2, 6, 3, 0. So, 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, under our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all of the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Then God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Hang on, I'm not done. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and in the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so.
Genesis chapter 1.
Yes.
All right. Your next book up here is Luke. Go to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read while you're going there. I'm going to read Mark chapter 4.
All righty.
On the same day, this is the preacher man here. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. That's Luke chapter 8.
Luke 8, I heard you.
All right. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, as he was, and other little boats were also with him. There was a boat brigade. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. Not just on it, into it. So that it was already filling. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now we're going to Luke 8. And we're going to run down there to what? Verse 22.
Luke 8, 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the side of the lake. So they got into a boat and went out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him and said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? he asked his disciples. As in fear of amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." They were able, you see, these people had faith in God. They had faith in God that storm was going to be calmed. And you know what? It was calmed.
Well, Jesus had the faith. They did. He looked at them and said, "Where is your faith?"
He asked where their faith was. Excuse me. He had the faith. They didn't have faith that God, Jesus was going to do that.
Yeah.
We got to be able to have the faith in God that he will do what he said he would do in his word.
And you think about it. God isn't going to come down and rebuke Irma.
He's not going to come down and do it. We, as Christians, have to rebuke Irma.
Yeah.
We're the ones, as Christians, that have to say, especially the people who are down in Florida, George, and then coastal Georgia, in the coastal Carolinas, these preachers in their pulpits, and these people in their homes. It wouldn't even hurt if they went outside, looked up at the sky, and said, "Irma, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You go out to sea, and you don't bring any of your rain or wind with you."
Yep. No more death.
No more death. We already had enough with Harvey.
Your wickedness dies now. I heard Jesse the Planet say once, it's called an atmospheric depression. Atmosphere. It's the hurricane is driven by fear. So what do you have to rebuke?
You have to rebuke the fear.
Go ahead, do it.
Fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Because with this in mind, we got to go. We are out of time.
So
here's what I am going to say. I say this every time on the program, every time we close the show, I say it because I mean it. And we believe this with all of our hearts. And this is really important. It reminds us to put our priorities, which is God, first. God first, God always. So long, everybody.
So long.